How about that theme song? That's right. This is the Valley Outdoors. Glad to have you guys with us. We are going to have fun and games today. We're going to talk a little bit about vets, and they are just kind of an interesting report they just released regarding ticks. You're going to want to listen to that. And rifle hunting for pike. Sounds like an interesting story to me. That and more when we return. Here's your chance to fish with us, the Valley Outdoors. It's simple to do. Register online at thevalleyoutdoors.com and wait for your name to be drawn. We're giving away a trip to four individuals that includes lodging in Ashkenam Resort in Ash River and fishing the waters of Cabotogama and Namekin Lakes. Join Don and I on this fabulous fishing trip September 17th through the 22nd. You can bring your own boat or fish with one of us. Plus, a walleye seminar and contests for prizes throughout the trip. Just register today at thevalleyoutdoors.com. Crimp sponsored by The Valley Outdoors Radio and Ashkenam Resort. Get registered today to fish with us. Winner announced on August 20th on The Valley Outdoors Radio Show. Complete promotional rules available at thevalleyoutdoors.com. Well, good to see you, Ava.
Yeah, it's always good to see you, too.
Thank you. It's always fun to be able to talk about stories that you find that are unusual and unique. You know, you catch a unique rabbit, right?
How?
Unique up on it.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah, I know. It's sad. You know, you catch a tame rabbit.
What?
The tame way.
Okay. Yeah. This sounds like Elmer Fudd type jokes.
I will be playing here all week.
Yeah.
Don't forget to tip your bartenders.
$5 at the door.
Yep, exactly. Yeah, okay. Exactly. Tip, though, important. Obviously, we're looking at coming into spring, a lot of people getting out in the woods and walking through wherever, fields, etc. A story we're going to talk about a little bit later in the show is about vets are going to be releasing a warning regarding disease that is going to be involving ticks.
Okay.
So we'll kind of delve into that. But on the human side, we need to really be careful about that, too. And, of course, it's a big thing. Keep in mind an easy way, a couple easy things you can do besides spraying your skin with a permethrin. It is a permethrin. I apologize. Permethrin. That is it's a chemical that repels ticks.
Okay.
But what you have to be careful of is you shouldn't really spray it on your skin. So use socks. Spray your socks before you put them on with that permethrin.
Okay.
It works great. If you're going to wear long pants, wear light colors, it's normal store, you know, this, that, and the other. But really putting it on your socks, that's a big thing. Works great. And it's going to prevent you from getting all the heebie-jeebies when you get down to the woods. Because you ever had that before? You get the heebie-jeebies.
Oh, yeah.
Somebody says, oh, I found a tick. And then next thing you know,
you're feeling them all over the place.
Yep. Which is the horrible thing. So get the permethrin. Or permethrin, I apologize, and use that. Put it on your socks, put it on clothing, but that way it'll wash off. When it's on your skin, it's not good.
Where do you get
it? That.
Never even heard of it.
Sporting goods stores
have it. To be honest.
Yeah. It's been in some of the tick repellents for years.
Okay.
Years and years and years. There's another Canadian bug/tick repellent. And it was something to do with citronella. It's like a wax. And boy, I tell you, that worked great. And if you look up citronella bug repellent, you'll probably find it. It comes in a little tin and it's like a waxy material. And you put it on your skin and it's great. It smells nice too.
Yeah. So, of course, we all know wearing long socks and long pants, mm-hmm. and you can tuck your socks into your pants if you're really worried about it. I know ticks are really bad this year.
Oh, they're horrible.
Really bad. My parents, they've got that acreage here in Red Wing and they run their dog every day. Oh gosh, just ticks every day on the dog. Sadly, we can't take an oral pill. No, an oral pill like a dog can or a collar, you know, to prevent these ticks. So,
which is a bummer.
My dad has the best way to keep ticks, like when you get them off of you or off your dog, mm-hmm. instead of like flushing them or whatever the case may be, duct tape. He just sticks them to a roll of duct tape.
That's awesome.
Yeah. And then he's got like 5, 10
that's
ticks.
The 101st use for duct tape.
Well, yeah. And then if you have them like on your clothes, you just, you know, do the roll of duct tape opposite around your hand and pat yourself all over the place and they come right off. They're not going anywhere.
And it gets lint off at the same time.
It does. And debris. All of that.
Exactly. Exactly. So just be careful. How's it go? Be careful out there.
Yeah. And watch for ticks. Check yourself. Shower. When you're in the shower, that's the best time. You know, like, because they do like to get eventually to the scalp. So.
Yep. So you can use a comb and comb it out.
Yeah, but you can feel it when you're washing your hair. And
oh, yeah. No, you definitely can. Jumping on to a story that came out this week, and whether you have a strong opinion about this or not doesn't really matter. I just find it the lack of intelligence or the lack of non-intelligence. Let me back up. The lack of knowledge or the unwillingness to learn about handguns and or weapons and or cartridges, etc. This last Monday, the president took aim at 9mm handguns, appearing to suggest that their high caliber weapons ought to be banned. He made the remarks outside the White House after coming back from the shooting that occurred last week. And he said he went to the hospital and doctors showed him an x-rays of gunshot wounds. He said the 22 caliber bullet will lodge in a lung and we could probably get it out and save life. A 9mm bullet will blow the lung out of the body. So the idea of high caliber weapons is there's simply no rational basis for them in terms of self-protection or hunting. Remember that the Constitution was never absolute. You couldn't buy a cannon when the Second Amendment was passed. You couldn't go out and purchase a lot of weaponry. And he ruled out the possibility of issuing executive order on guns, saying he can't dictate stuff, but he can do things that will continually take, but can't outlaw a weapon, per se, via a executive order. I will say that the unfortunate part about this is that 9mm is a most popular caliber in the anywhere for handguns,
mm-hmm.
and it is used for target practice. It is used for home defense. It is used for just about everything, and the issue
is... Law enforcement?
Yeah. Exactly. But they're allowed to use that. But I think the other issue comes in, it's a slippery slope. As soon as you look at the caliber, 9mm or otherwise, it is weird when it comes down to what you're going to do, create as a judgment on that. So stay tuned on that. We're going to be back with more Valley Outdoors right after this. And I always like to have people stop out, check us out on thevalleyoutdoors.com. You're going to be able to check out the drawing, Fish With Us. Even though it may not be functional at this particular moment, be aware.
It should be by the time this show airs.
It should be at the moment. If you tried registering before and it did not work, it should be working fine now. We should be perfectly good.
It should be.
Click on it and
check
enter,
back every day.
Because you can enter.
every day. Yep, and it greaters your chance.
Yep, it does. Definitely does. So check that out. And check us out on Facebook. If you have anything cool, photos or whatever else, just submit them there as well. And we'd love to have them put them up.
Yeah, so a little bit about the Fish With Us trip. Four mm-hmm. people get to go.
Yep.
And where are you guys going?
We're going to Ashkenam Resort up at Lake Cabotogama. Access to Namekin, Lake Namekin, which is literally you come out of the Ash River. If you take a right, you go to Namekin. Take a left, you go to Cabotogama.
Okay.
Last year was an absolute riot. It was super fun. And the accommodations are fantastic. The food's great. The hosts at Ashkenam Resort are also outstanding. So it really is nice to have that access and the people there at the resort. The guys are just outstanding. And what I like about it is, even if the wind's blowing, we can get out of Ashkenam and go to any number of areas and islands to fish behind it. Or normally I'm dumb and I'm like, all right, anybody wants to go fishing today? We're going out in the middle of the wind. we're going to go find where we can go in the wind and see if we can't catch some fish. And we did pretty good last year. So that was fun. A lot of different techniques. We're teaching people how to tie rigs, how to tie crawler harnesses, what's the best rig to use, how to use it. Different methodologies. We'll have all the rods and reels and whatever. If you're going to join us, that's all what we have. If you want to bring your own, that's not a problem as well. But really amazing, fun, and educational all at the same time. So you won't want to miss it. So sign up often.
Yeah. And you could be one of the four winners.
You very well could be one of those four
people. And it's September 17th through the 22nd. So if you got nothing going on in September.
Any one of those guys that was last year is like, can I win 2 years in a row?
It's like, dude, that'd be cool, but.
Not so cool.
Be cool for you.
Yeah, exactly. Okay. Exactly. So, but neat. And I think just an outstanding way to experience the outdoors and fishing up in the Great White North. And they get a lot of water up there this time of year. I was trying to get a hold of, I told you earlier before the show, I was trying to get a hold of a friend of the show, Chris Granrud with Rainy Days Guide Service. And they've been battling the highest water that has been up there since 1950. So over 70 years worth of records that have been broken as far as the water levels. They're 2 to 3 feet over the docks right now, over the piers. And go from low water last year to the higher water this year. It's ridiculous.
Pretty crazy.
It is. Mm-hmm. It is for sure. So we talked a little bit about ticks earlier in the show.
Yeah, tick prevention.
And veterinarians have issued a high tick disease warning for 2022. Dogs could face a higher than average risk this coming year for a host of tick-borne diseases, according to warnings from a group that tracks the prevalence of parasites potentially affecting pets. Heartworm and Lyme's disease are among the vector-borne diseases expected to increase in 2022, according to forecasts reported by Veterinary Practice News and United States veterans focused on veterinarians. Veterans?
Veterinarians.
Veterinarians. Isn't that a great word? If you say it too fast, it just blends into vets.
Mm-hmm.
And that people can get confused on what you're talking about.
Yeah, which vet?
Isn't the English language grand?
It's the worst.
One
actually,
letter can change the whole meaning of a word. Anyway, they talk about best practices, small animals, and equine care. And again, key pieces and parts here. We're expecting increases beyond last year's forecasts in eastern Kentucky, Tennessee, western Michigan, and Ohio. So those of you guys in Michigan, watch out for that. High-risk hotspots are again predicted northern and western lower Michigan, southern and northeastern Ohio. High Lyme's disease persists in all portions of the Northeast, the upper Midwestern states, Wisconsin, Minnesota, and the upper peninsula of Michigan. A higher-than-normal risk continues in North Dakota, northeastern South Dakota, Iowa, Illinois, and eastern Kentucky. Lyme's disease, of course, is caused by a bacterium, also presents increased risk in the Carolinas and Tennessee. The emerging threats validate and emphasize our reminders that pets and pet owners do not have to travel to the traditional endemic areas of the Northeast to encounter substantial Lyme's disease, and that's typically where they really had some issues. Typical symptoms include fever, loss of appetite, reduced energy, lameness or shifting, intermittent and recurring, generalized stiffness, discomfort or pain, and swelling in the joints. And the veterinarians in the regions historically that have had high prevalence, and they're saying increased risks. They've advised that they reinforce recommendations of aggressive tick control, consider vaccinating high-risk animals, annually testing dogs in areas with high and continued incidence of Lyme's disease. So it's all over the place.
No kidding.
And along the Mississippi River, increasing risks. Of course, they're starting to get it in New Mexico and Arizona, Colorado, Kansas, and the Northern Great Plains. Increased risk also is now in California, Idaho, and Montana. And diversity of mosquitoes is a big thing, obviously. We know that. Teamed with the population densities in the regions that support heartworm infections are also more likely to affect those dogs. So get out there, be careful, and test your dogs regularly. And dogs with monocytic versions of the tick-borne issues, symptoms will include acute fever, lethargy, poor appetite, large lymph nodes, abnormal bruising and bleeding, chronic eye inflammation, and neurologic abnormalities and occasional lameness. So, I don't know. It sounds
yuck. It's not good.
And I do know if you're with your pet, make sure you check yourself, like we talked about at the top of the show. Lyme's disease is nothing to mess with. And if you do find a tick that has that typical target red circle, make sure you get that taken and checked out. So that works for sure. We're going to take a little bit of a break. We're going to be back. We're going to talk about the strange history of rifle hunting for pike.
Can't wait.
Stay tuned. Ashkenam Resort on Ash River in northern Minnesota is a destination you're looking for. Ashkenam offers everything for the angler or family vacation with access to Lake Cabotogama, Namekin Lake, and the gateway to Voyageurs National Park. Thousands of acres of clean, refreshing water all available to you. This is your destination for your next fishing trip or family vacation. Check us out on thevalleyoutdoors.com. Do I need to say walleyes, northern pike, and crappies?
For the angler that has everything, or just thinks everything, grace your palm with the feel of a custom fishing rod made to your specs from Patriot Custom Rods. It will soon become a cherished tool in your hand, providing the sensitivity and feel you have long dreamed of. Patriot Custom Rods are specially designed to your species of fishing, rod weight, colors, grip type, and length. Treat yourself or someone else to a Patriot Custom Rod. Find us on thevalleyoutdoors.com.
Eric Olson here, professional walleye tour champion, avid outdoorsman, and host of the Valley Outdoors radio show. Aquatic invasive species, or AIS, threatens not only our rivers and lakes here, but everywhere we boat. They come in many forms, and they love to hitch a ride to the next body of water on your boat or trailer. Join me to stop the spread of AIS by cleaning all weeds and aquatic material from your trailer before leaving the launch ramp. Drain live wells and clean areas that don't drain completely. Plus, don't forget to pull the plug. Clean, drain, dry. Together, we can make a difference. So, Ava, have you ever... You've been hunting, obviously.
Never.
And you... Oh, stop it. And you've been fishing.
Never.
So have you ever hunted for pike?
I have not, no. That's the truth. I haven't.
I have not either. It's rather intriguing.
Okay.
So the story is America's strange history of rifle hunting for pike. This is no joke, you guys. This is not a joke.
Is it legal?
Yes. For many years. And it's Vermont. Is the only state in the union where you can legally use guns to hunt fish.
All right.
No, we're not talking about mounting a deer rifle atop your skiff or your boat and firing miniature harpoons like deck cannons on a whaling boat. No.
That'd be so cool.
It would be, though, wouldn't it? It's a bit much for northern pike, the primary prey of armed anglers who hunt Lake Champlain. You ever been out there?
Yeah, beautiful.
It's amazing. Mm-hmm. We took a ferry ride across. There was a tournament going on, a big bass tournament I was out there for. One of the companies I work with, and talk about beautiful New York, Lake Champlain. It's just amazing. So in this case, Vermont, because it junctures or borders on a bunch of different states. The 120-mile shoreline and backwaters in western Vermont each spring after ice out is when they do this. Vermont lets hunters use firearms to shoot pike, pickerel, gar, carp, shad, bowfin, mullet, and suckers, bullheads, and other cull fishes from March 25th through May 25th along the Champlain's wooded, flooded woodlands and marshes. The main attraction in this annual pickerel shoot, however, is pike, which they make themselves quite vulnerable for a week or so during the spawning run. They don't specify minimum or maximum rifle calibers or shotgun bores for fish hunting, nor does it restrict slug weights, pellet sizes, or their metal components, toxic or non-toxic. Simply bring whatever rifle, shotgun, handgun, and muzzleloader you prefer as you wade, stalk ashore, and post in a tree stand, sit atop a deck-mounted ladder, or ride shotgun in the bow of a canoe. As with the hook and line fishing, pike shooters simply must comply with the Vermont's 5-fish limit and 20-inch minimum length. Spoiler alert, fish managers and the conservation wardens with the Vermont Fish and Wildlife say few people ever shoot their daily bag limit of pike.
Okay.
Okay.
It's rare.
Greg Buglioli, believe it or not, Buglioli, owner and operator of Vermont Field Sports in Middlebury, said his store has been selling guns, ammo, and archery gear, fishing tackle, and outdoor clothing and footwear since 1997. However, he said he hasn't hunted pike with a gun since going twice in the 90s. He said he recalls spending more time fishing for bullheads on those trips while friends hunted pike near my. So.
All right.
He said he didn't do much for me. That's okay. In fact, the opponents and supporters alike have predicted the past half century that pickerel shooting would die on its own when the current generation of aging pike shooters passed on. The old timers who said that in the 1980s, of course, have been gone for decades. Their offspring still repeat the tradition when lamenting on how few carry on through tradition. So it's going to, it just perpetuates, even though right. People say it's going to die off, but it doesn't. That kind of talk gets little traction. We've been debating the whole array of changes over coyote hunting in recent years, and no one still wants to tackle another issue that would stop an activity that involves people using guns. Nearly two decades later, the agency, Vermont Game and Fish, worked with lawmakers to rescind the law for good, so you couldn't hunt. And then the Vermont's Fish and Wildlife Fisheries Director told the Associated Press in 1987 that the hunting fish with firearms had outlived its usefulness.
Okay.
In the old days, they were doing it for food resource. Right now, it's a sport. I think it's time to change. Now, that's the funny part about it. Fighting threats. We have resigned ourselves to waiting for it to die on its own, one of these people said. It's becoming less common all the time, but you still see a few kids trying it because they think it's cool. Even so, this individual doesn't expect it to have a quick death. He said the Vermont residents are renowned for fighting any perceived outside threat to individual rights, even those originating in Montpelier, which is a state capital. Residents in Green Mountain State put it this way, if you want a Vermonter to do something, just tell him he can't.
Yep.
As fast and loose as the activity might seem, the participants act responsibility and look after the resource. I've never heard of anyone writing a ticket for it. We seldom get complaints unless it's about someone hunting at night and reflecting their lights onto someone's property. We get more reports of guys getting hurt in tree stand falls than we do of bullets ricocheting into houses or passing cars. How does this work? That's kind of the big key, because you don't necessarily hit the fish every time, right?
Sure.
So what happens? Deadly shockwaves create the issue and create that fish to pass or knock it unconscious. How close? Close enough to count to horseshoes or hand grenades, and that's close enough to bark or a splash a pike. So you can hit them just close. That's all you need. The idea is to detonate a miniature depth charge that kills or stuns the fish with a shockwave, forcing it to the surface like a disabled submarine.
And then you just scoop it up or what?
Exactly. The future of pike shooting. The gentleman knows something about the science and research. He used to work as a wildlife biologist with Vermont and served as the agency's commissioner from 2003 to 2011. He served as Pennsylvania wildlife director from 2015 to 2018. and they're fighting the state's chronic wasting disease. Plus, he recalls hunting pike with a 30-30 during his youth in Vermont. I probably went half a dozen times through my early 20s, but that was 50 years ago. I thought it was kind of a novelty, and my father was doing it as long as I can remember. I also remember him spearing pike at night and lugging him around in a wet burlap bag. But despite his affection for Vermont's pike hunting tradition, he doubts it's a spring ritual that will endure. Vermont is changing, and 75 to 80% of the senators and representatives weren't born in Vermont, which is one of the issues that comes into play as well.
I suppose.
You can't expect them to understand something that's not part of their background. Their grandfathers didn't bring it home, pike in a burlap bag. So when you think about that side of the fence, guess what? It's one of those things that, I don't know. Traditions are traditions, and I think if they're not hurting anybody, I think you shouldn't eliminate it. You should keep going.
My only thing is, like, the bullets left in the water. What happens there? You know, like, could a fish eventually accidentally eat that, or a bird? You know?
It's just
technically littering.
It is, but on the other hand, if they don't deem it as an issue, I don't see that particular part would be a problem. Would you?
No.
No.
But yeah, it'd probably be something that you do once and cool, move on.
Part of the gig, yeah. Right? Exactly. Well, hey, don't forget to check out our Fish With Us promo on The Valley Outdoors. For Ava and I, we are The Valley Outdoors, and we hope to get you on with us next week. Have a great weekend, everybody.